15 Days in Central Europe. Happy 50th to me. Published Monday, the 21st of October, 2024 at 6:59 p.m. It had been over 5 years since my last trip out of the country, so with my 50th birthday approaching, I decided to redeem some Aeroplan points and take a holiday with planes, trains, buses, a bunch of new cities, and a lot of walking. I had originally planned for my next big trip to be a return to South America, a hiking trip to the Patagonia region. My last trip had been to Europe, so I wasn't originally looking to go back right away, but the schedule at my new job makes it a bit difficult to plan something in the northern winter, southern summer season. So with a friend and some wine, we both agreed to return to Europe was the plan. Boo-hoo for me. There's a direct flight from Halifax to Frankfurt, Germany, so that got it to the top of the list and put me right where I wanted to be. Central Europe was beckoning, a combination of beautiful architecture, amazing food and drink, deep history, and warm, welcoming people. Munich, Germany was to be the start and end point for the loop around a bunch of cities by train, and it was a quick flight south from Frankfurt. The flights were run by Lufthansa and were a step up from the typical flights I take. Jammed into economy class, left to my own devices of what feels like an eternity. The staff were helpful, food was tasty, onboard Wi-Fi and entertainment, and decent-sized seats made the trips over the Atlantic far more bearable. If only the European trains were as enjoyable. Munich, Germany. We arrived in Munich in the pouring rain as Central Europe was experiencing historic flooding. That's my luck. Good thing I packed my raincoat in the outside pocket of my backpack. As we arrived at the central train station, both it and my packed rain cover were definitely required. It was a quick and direct walk out the main doors of the train station to the Hotel Jetterman, something we had planned for the entire trip, except in Florence, Italy, where staying close to the train station was out of our price range. We were in a great neighborhood, a 10-minute walk to a couple of local beer halls, so we decided to brave the rain and squeeze ourselves into Münkerstuben and stuff ourselves with the first real trip meal of the trip. The beer was good, the food was excellent, the atmosphere top-notch. I don't know why, but Munich was a bit of a surprise for me. I don't really know what I was expecting, maybe something more industrial, but once the sun came out, I found Munich to be a lovely city. The architecture is a wonderful mixture of old and new, like much of Europe, and there was a real vibrancy about the place. Since we were in town for a short time, we concentrated on where we could walk to from the hotel, which meant the famous Marienplatz and surrounding neighborhoods. We walked until we couldn't walk any further, then stopped into another beer hall, Der Pschorr, for a rest and a beer or two and some pretzels. We kept walking and exploring, a theme of the entire trip. Of course, we couldn't resist visiting another beer hall for supper, so we headed into one of the oldest Nuremberger Bratwurst, Gluckel am Dom. It was fantastic, of course, except excellent sausages and beer, all in a single tiny old dark wooden paneled room. What a treat. Back at the hotel, we decided on a nightcap in the cozy hotel bar. We tuned the TV to some soccer in German and relaxed a little while sending photos to friends and family. We thought the guy at the front desk thought we were a little nuts, but he kept checking in to see if we needed another drink, and how could we not when the beer was local, cold, and €3? As much as we had enjoyed ourselves in Munich, we were also excited on the next train and head east towards Vienna, our next stop. Vienna and Bratislava. We were settled into our first-class carriage on the train east from Munich towards Vienna, Austria, when the ticket taker scanned our pass and asked us where we were traveling to. Naturally, our response was Vienna, since that's where we were going. She then spoke the words a person on a moving train towards Vienna doesn't want to hear. This train isn't going to Vienna. What? Well, Vienna and Bratislava were basically closed to the outside world, from the ground anyways, because of the flooding. Roads and rails closed. We hadn't checked the train operator's website before leaving, which would have told us what was happening. Instead, we were hurtling towards Linz, Austria, the end of the line for this train anyways. Yay for Wi-Fi on the train, since we now had to find a place to stay in Linz, and quickly. Lucky for us, there was a nice room at the Kolpinghaus Linz, a nice hotel we could walk to with our packs in the rain. Vienna and Bratislava were officially off the itinerary, so after dropping our bags in our room, we grabbed some lunch and picked up a few things at the local Lidl, including a very well-priced bottle of wine we so richly deserved for our troubles. Settled in for the evening. It would have been nice to do some more exploring. The Danube River flows through the city, but the weather was miserable. In the morning, we'd have an excellent hotel breakfast before the walk back to the train station. We had decided that if we couldn't get to Vienna or Bratislava, we might as well head south, away from the rain, towards Ljubljana, Slovenia, and spend an extra 3 days there. This turned out to be an excellent decision. Ljubljana, Slovenia. We made our way back to the train station in Linz, found our train going west, and settled in for the trip to Salzburg, then south on to Villach, where we were changed trains. We were now on our way to Ljubljana. The trip was lovely, as we were in a first-class carriage with Wi-Fi, comfortable seats, and huge windows. We chatted with a fellow from Berlin who was on his way to see his parents and took photos of the incredible mountainous landscape out the windows. Before we knew it, we had arrived in Ljubljana. We were truly in Central Europe now. We were very fortunate to get a room in the same place where we'd be staying later in the trip. The Central Comfort Apartments Meskanka is in the perfect location, right in the heart of the old city. It was a 15-minute walk from the station, but this is one of those times you're happy you're walking. We got a great introduction to the city before even getting to our room. I had no expectations of Ljubljana, only that it was beautiful. It met and exceeded that. Without doubt, Ljubljana was my favorite city of the trip. It is everything I want in a European city. Architecture, history, food, wine, people, everything was amazing. So much so, I felt like it was too good to be true. The old city is motor vehicle free during the day and evening, so the walking is easy and safe. You might get run over by a cyclist, but they're very good at it and was never an issue. Like all of Slovenia, Ljubljana is very clean and safe, even at night. We had 3 days in the city and made the most of it by walking tens of thousands of steps each day and seeing just about everything you can see. Of course, we also made time to stop and rest our legs with excellent beer and food. We had to try Slovenian dumplings, and thankfully, the Moji Štrukli Sloveni was just a few minute walk away. We sat out on the terrace next to the river surrounded by beautiful old buildings and people, out for an evening stroll. Both traditional and sweet dumplings were delicious. Speaking of which, the evenings and nights are a wonder time for a walk through the city with the bridges and buildings lit up. I'm sure the nightlife of the city is excellent, but we were too tired to venture out drinking and dancing with the backpackers. Lucky for us, our room was in the heart of the city and we could relax after long days walking without having to go too far. After a few days in Ljubljana, I didn't want to leave. It's such a beautiful city and it's got the perfect vibe for me. But there was more food, fun, and exploring to be had. So after an impromptu 3 days, we were back at the station for an early morning train north to pick up the trip where we would have been after Vienna and Bratislava. Budapest, Hungary. This was the first long train journey of the trip. It took us all day to get back to Budapest, and even though all we did was sit on a train all day, we were tired when we finally arrived in the evening. We couldn't quite walk to the hotel from the station, so we downloaded the Budapest Transit app, bought a ticket for tram 49, eventually found the tram, it's on the other side of the station than the more popular trams, hopped on board, and made our way into our neighborhood. It's a bit terrifying navigating a foreign city's transit system, but that's all part of the adventure for me. Locals are always super helpful if it looks like you have no idea what you're doing, and this trip was no different. We screeched along in the tram while watching the sun go down over the beautiful Pest side of the city. After getting off at the last stop and walking the 5 minutes to the hotel, we dropped our bags and went right back out again to explore and get something to eat. We were starving. Once again, our hotel, or guest house in Budapest, was in a fantastic location. The Broadway City Guest House is close enough to the hustle and bustle, but without all the noise. It's such a nice feeling to walk around all day, participate in the fun, have access to the best cafes, restaurants, and shops in the city, and still be able to easily and safely wander to your own room when you're tired and ready for pajamas and relaxing. Since we were in Budapest on a very warm couple of days, we did what we always did. Start the day with a nice breakfast, this time at the Robert Capa Cafe next door to our guest house, and walk as far and wide as we could. The flooding further upstream made the height of the Danube River very, very high. Another meter or so and the city would have been flooded. Lots of people, tourists and locals alike, were down on the riverside to look at how high the water was. There was quite a crowd. After walking all morning and half the afternoon, we decided to stop for a cold beer on a quiet patio in the heart of Pest. Yes, more beer. It was a welcome and relaxing rest away from the noise of the city, a huge difference from Ljubljana, where there's no traffic to have to escape from. We could have sat there all afternoon, but there was so much more to explore. We headed out again, back towards our guest house, stopping along the way to marvel at the architecture and some shop windows with very expensive watches in them. Keep walking! After kicking our shoes off for a little rest, we researched a few places to try for supper. We settled on a highly rated restaurant in our neighborhood called Menza. There was a bit of a wait for a table, so we sat at the bar where we ordered drinks, which I then proceeded to spill all over the place. They were nice enough to make me a new cocktail, and before long we were seated. The butter poached chicken on a bed of beetroot risotto was very good. One great moment of serendipity on this trip was that our guest house was located 2 doors down from the Robert Capa Contemporary Photography Center. I couldn't believe my luck. Not only was his gallery in Budapest, it was 20 steps out the front door. On the second morning, I decided I would spend some time in the gallery. I thought maybe an hour, but ended up staying for 2.5 hours. If you're in the city and interested in photojournalism and the life of one of the best, I highly recommend setting aside some time for this gallery. Our next stop wasn't too far a train journey away, so we didn't need to rush to the station, but eventually we needed to make our way back to the train and going to the other direction. So sad, Budapest is a beautiful, vibrant city. Zagreb, Croatia. Our journey to Zagreb meant taking an afternoon-evening train. It was nice to see the sun set over the countryside south of Budapest. There weren't too many people on the train south at this time of day, so it was nice and quiet. We hurtled through the farmland, making stops now and then. Of course, with crossing a border, the train stopped at the first station in Croatia, where we were asked for our tickets again and our passports. Central Europe is really taking this irregular migrant thing very seriously. We were asked for passports on the train each new country. Night had fallen and we were kind of sleepy in our seats when an employee came through the car saying we were stopping in 10 minutes to get on a bus. What? No communication at all. Just, we're stopping to get on a bus in 10 minutes. Well, this is how it goes on European trains, especially in Croatia. No one knew what was going on, but we did as we were asked and got off the train and on a coach. We made our way through the country again for about 45 minutes when once again we stopped. This time we stopped at another train station, got off the first coach and onto a second coach. What's happening? No one knew. So here we were on another bus, but at least we were going in the right direction towards Zagreb. Before long, the bus was stopped again at another train station. This time it was off the bus and back on the train. What's happening? No one knew. Once again, we were flying through the countryside at night. Will it ever end? Will we ever get to Zagreb? Would that be the last of our train troubles? Well, we got to Zagreb after 11 p.m., but it wouldn't be the last of our train troubles. Once again, we took our tram through the city to our hotel, the Hotel Park 45. The tram stop was right in front of the hotel, thankfully, because neither one of us was in the mood to walk through a foreign city late at night. The city was dead quiet, but we were in no mood. We stopped at the registration desk to check in, and the lovely young woman at the desk asked us what our journey to Zagreb from Budapest was like. So we told her the train, bus, train story, and she laughed. Ah, she said, you've now experienced the Croatian student life. Students come to school in the city and visit their family in the villages and towns, so take the train home. And train, bus, train isn't even the worst of it, we were told. We decided to look on the bright side and add this to the list of our adventures. It makes for a funny story, at least, but these are the sorts of things that make people think we're crazy for traveling like this. We made our way up to our room, the nicest and most modern of the whole trip, dropped our bags, got into our pajamas, and promptly fell asleep. We only had one full day in Zagreb, and we wanted to make the most of it. We were never in a rush, but we knew we had to get going at some point. My good pal Blaise found this namesake church, the Church of St. Blaise, not too far from our hotel. So we had decided on a very nice breakfast at the hotel and headed out on the sidewalk. It was nice and warm again here in Zagreb, making the walking easy. Zagreb is a much quieter city than the others so far, and it was a welcome change. We could get around easily, mixing in with the locals, going about their day. Zagreb is a small, compact city that is easy to see by foot, with lots of beautiful architecture and those narrow alleys I love so much. We walked much of the city, climbing up the old town, seeing the beautiful St. Mark's Church, and wandered through some of the old streets. After stopping at the old stone gate, we kept going down towards Ulica Ivana Taklica, a street full of shops, cafes, and restaurants. Once again, we found ourselves thirsty and tired, so we found another highly recommended restaurant to stop at for lunch, Lastruk. Like Ljubljana, we wanted to try the local dumplings, and this is the specialty at Lastruk. We found a nice table in the quiet terrace out back and settled in for a lovely meal. We continued our exploring by foot and decided to do another load of laundry since there was a laundromat close to the hotel. We had seen much of the city during the day, so we decided to take a bit of a rest, do some laundry, and go back out in the evening. This was a great idea, as Zagreb really comes alive when the sun goes down. So many people walking, chatting, relaxing, eating. What a life! I even found a shop selling hot sauce where I tried a few samples and left with a bottle and some local chocolate. We found a bar restaurant right in the middle of it all and sat ourselves down. Mali Mido is a simple place, good beer and bar food outside where we could watch the world go by. I had the local sausages and a giant beer, which were both great. Our server was nearly run off his feet, but he did a great job. We decided to keep walking a little more to burn off a few of those supper calories, but before long we were back at our hotel ready to relax for the rest of the evening and get ready for our return the next day to Ljubljana. Ljubljana, Slovenia, again. Once again, we had a short journey by train from Zagreb to Ljubljana. We had time to have another nice breakfast at the hotel and not rush to get to the train station. The tram back to the station had a stop outside the hotel, so we eventually headed out to catch the next tram and get ourselves to the train station nice and early. There aren't too many places to sit, but thankfully we found a couple of seats and waited for our train to arrive. Soon enough, we were on our way back to Ljubljana. Arriving in Ljubljana, it felt like seeing an old friend again. I really did enjoy Ljubljana on our earlier visit and was happy to be back. We already knew where we were going and headed straight out of the station with our bags towards our accommodation in the old town. In 15 minutes, we were back at the Central Comfort Apartments Meskanka. It was like we never left. This time we had a full-service apartment with lots of room and a small kitchen. It was perfect for us as we had already eaten in a few good restaurants and decided to use the kitchen for preparing suppers. We walked over to the local grocery store, picked up a bit too much food. It's so exciting seeing things you can't get back at home, and made a nice simple supper. Since we already spent a few days in Ljubljana, we decided to go a little outside the city center and walk up to Tivoli Park to get some fresh air and stretch our legs. Tivoli Park is a quiet place, free of tourists. It seems like the place locals go with their kids, school groups, to run or walk the dog. If you're looking for a respite from the popular city center, this is the place. There are lots of paths to walk in a small cafe, Kolnarma, next to the pond to get some very good ice cream, which we of course did. After a couple of hours wandering the park, we headed back into the city for more exploring. I took the opportunity to get into one of those awful tour shops to buy a Slovenia t-shirt and some Ljubljana magnets with a dragon on them. Sometimes you have to do the touristy thing. After another day of walking, we headed back to our guest house to relax and prepare supper. Our next train to Florence was a night train from Ljubljana. So we checked out and walked back to the train station to store our bags for the day. We decided to take a bus up to Bled, and the bus station is right next to the train station, so it worked out perfectly. We jumped on the bus to Bled that was just about to leave and made our way to this recreation destination. The dark clouds threatened to rain on us all day, but all we got was a little drizzle. We walked around the entire lake, stopping here and there for a photo and a rest. It took us a few hours and a lot of steps, but it was well worth it as we got a few different views of both the castle on the cliff and the church on Bled Island. And the good thing about the loop is you end up back in town where there is beer on the lake to help you forget about your sore legs and feet. Also close to the end of the loop, there was a local painter selling his small paintings for only 4 euros. He had one on display that looked exactly like it had during the day, with dark clouds over the lake. I couldn't resist, and he was his funny guy now, so I have a small painting of Bled in my apartment as a nice memory. After our beer, we caught the next bus back to Ljubljana to get some supper. Pizza at Capriccio, before walking back to the train station for our overnight train to Florence. Our pizzas and beer were excellent, and just before we were about to leave, we decided to check the train website to see if the train was on time. Well, the train on the first leg from Ljubljana to Villach, Austria, was on time, but the train on the second leg from Villach to Florence was cancelled. Yes, the train from the middle of nowhere, Austria, to Florence was cancelled for technical issues. Now what? Well, little did we know this would be the worst part of the trip. We finished our beer, paid the bill, and headed directly to the train station. It was already after 9 p.m., and we hoped we could get a new reservation for the trip that had been cancelled. Luckily, the station ticket agent was open until 10:30, and the woman working was fully prepared to help us out. She told us it happens all the time and not to worry. We got rebooked on a new train, but this one made an extra stop in Padua. We had to take it. So we got on the train in Ljubljana, got off in Villach, Austria, at 12:43 a.m. to find out our train to Padua was 2 hours late. There isn't anywhere in Villach to wait indoors, so we had to sit on the platform and try not to freeze for 2 hours while waiting for our train to appear. Eventually it did, but the car we were reserved on wasn't on it. What? Turns out the front half of the train got unhooked and another train was attached to the back of, and there was our car. Phew. Of course, the train was full of people sleeping, stretched out across the seats. It was 2:30 a.m., so we had to wake up some people to get to our seats. That's how you make enemies in a foreign country. We were squished into our seats, and we couldn't sleep because we had to pay attention to what station we were arriving at. There was no overhead display or announcements, so thankfully our phones had a data plan to open up maps and track our journey to Padua. Once again, it was time to get off a train, but this time waking up a few people, we grabbed our bags off the rack above our heads. We made it to Padua at 7:15 a.m. and looked for the train to Florence. Of course, we were 2 hours late, and the reservations we had were useless. Blaise went and got us new reservations for the business class carriage. At least we'd have big seats, a bottle of water, and some biscuits. I could have taken someone's head off at this point, but we found our car, boarded yet another train, and tried to get a few minutes of sleep. Florence, Italy. Our journey from Padua to Florence went by without issue. What a relief. We arrived in Florence with 7 hours until we could check into our hotel, 7 hours to wander the beautiful city on no sleep. We stored our bags at the train station and wandered the streets for a little while. It was just so nice to finally be in Florence after that crazy night. We eventually stopped at a nice cafe, the Ozio Bistro, for lunch. The coffee and avocado toast was very much appreciated and put me into much better spirits. We wandered a little more, stopped at a small shop to get some bus tickets, grabbed a bottle of wine, retrieved our bags from the train station, and found the bus stop across the street where we take the number 7 up the hill to our hotel, Via La Stella. We were both exhausted and frankly a little smelly, so we decided to get to the hotel and just relax. We had been carrying a bag of food with us for a couple of days, and with the bottle of wine, we had enough for a supper in our room. The view out our window over the hills of Tuscany was beautiful. We could watch the sunset and sip on our amazing 4-euro bottle of wine. We could finally have a shower and change into clean clothes. We could catch up on our email. We fell asleep by 8:30 p.m. Once again, our hotel had a fantastic breakfast and amazing staff. We fueled up and decided to hang out on the sunny patio for a few hours. The guy who ran the kitchen and restaurant came out to say hello and made sure we knew we could use the back entrance to the kitchen and make ourselves as many cappuccinos as we wanted. We took him up on his offer and spent a relaxing couple of hours in the patio drinking coffee and reviewing photos on our laptops. It was pretty amazing. As happy as we were, though, that maybe we should get back into one of the most beautiful cities in the world, we stashed our laptops back in our room, filled up our water bottles, and headed down the hill into Florence. It was only 1.3 kilometers, so why take the bus when you can walk through beautiful neighborhoods? This is one of my favorite parts of traveling like this, making my own way between here and there. We made it into Florence, and that's where the insanity starts. I really don't know how the locals do it. It's complete and total chaos with people everywhere, so we spent a good 6 hours walking the city and finding alleys of calm amidst the insanity. We did see some of the famous landmarks, but we really focused on getting out of the popular piazzas and streets. We didn't line up for anything, instead spending our time wandering down quiet alleys to find interesting buildings and shops. While I was in Florence, I wanted to buy a t-shirt from ACF Fiorentina, the local football club. They have stores throughout the city, but I wasn't paying 120 euros for an official jersey. Eventually, we wander down a quiet side street and look at that, an ACF Fiorentina shop. Would this one have a simple t-shirt in my size for 30 euros? Well, they had exactly what I was looking for 35 euros, so I bought it. That was the only thing I really wanted to buy in Florence, and I was happy. Except, as we continued our walk down another quiet street, we came across another shop. This one had an absolutely beautiful men's wool coat in the window, so I stopped to drool over it without stepping inside. How much did it cost? I didn't want to know, because if it was less than 250 euros, I'd buy it. Blaise stuck his head inside, tipped over the price tag, looked at the price, flipped it back, and stepped outside. How much do you think? He asked. 150, I replied. Close, he said. 190. Damn. Below my price threshold. So I went inside, got sized up, tried one on, and fell in love. Tax is a simple store selling beautiful clothing made from locally sourced Tuscan wool, crafted by local craftspeople. I purchased the Naxos coat in dark green. I love it, and it's a memento of my very short time in Florence I will treasure for the rest of my life. After dropping all that cash, I had to get out of these amazing alleys full of tempting items. We headed down to the Ponte Vecchio, the famous bridge covered in jewelry shops. I knew I wasn't interested in anything for sale there. Unsurprisingly, it was packed. The views are amazing, but the crowds quickly turn the vibe sour. I'm happy I went, but was also happy to move on. We had reservations for 7 p.m. at a well-regarded pizza restaurant called Pizzium on the Piazza del Carmine, so we slowly made our way over to that neighborhood. We were a bit early, so we sat on the steps of the Santa Maria del Carmine Church to rest our legs until the restaurant opened and watched kids and parents kick a soccer ball around. This was another quiet corner of Florence. We finished our pizza and wine and headed back to the bus stop to catch our bus up the hill to our hotel. The bus was packed. We might have been the only tourists on board, but it was running on time, dropping off and picking up as we wound our way up the hill. Our stop came up on the display. We rang the bell and got off across the street from the private road up to the hotel. Perfect, and only a couple of euros. Before leaving the city, we stepped into a store for another bottle of wine, which he opened after arriving back in our room. A fitting end to a very quick visit to a beautiful city. The next day, we'd be back at the main train station, catching our ride to Munich, then our flight back across the Atlantic. But of course, the trains in Europe weren't finished with us quite yet. The journey to Munich was going so smoothly. Our trains were on time and the transfer in Verona flawless. We got on a first-class carriage that looked brand new, large seats, mostly empty and quiet, fast Wi-Fi and plugs that work. What could go wrong? Well, as we approached Munich Central Station, the train stopped, and not at the platform. We sat there, not moving for a few minutes, until an announcement declared we weren't moving because someone had pulled the emergency brake on the train in front of us, and neither it nor our train could move until that was fixed. That's amazing. So we sat there, unable to get out for half an hour. Finally, the train nudged forward and we could get off, get our tram tickets, and get out to the airport. We had decided to go all the way to the airport, as there was a better chance of getting a taxi there than at the random tram stop closer to the hotel. So as we made our way to the tram platform, we found out it was closed. No tram from here, the whole platform taped off and guarded by police. There had been an incident. So now what? How do we get to the airport on a train from here? Thankfully, a very helpful police officer helped us to get us where we needed. He whipped up a route on his phone and let us take photos of it so we could follow it, as once again, we had to take two trains where one would do. So on the U2 subway, we went along with all the Oktoberfest revelers. It was kind of cool, honestly. Most people were tipsy and in a good mood. All the way to the end of the line, we traveled and got off with hundreds of other people to wait on a windy, freezing platform. It was 6 degrees. For what felt like forever for the tram to take us to the last stop at the airport. By the time we got to the end, we were the only two people left on board. It was late, and we were starving, so we went into the airport to look for something to eat, but everything was closed. We gave up, headed outside to a taxi, and onto the airport hotel we had booked. By the time we checked in, it was 10:45 p.m. We asked when the bar closed. 11 p.m. was the reply. Perfect! Time for one last beer in Europe, a chance to unwind after another crazy day of train travel. It was cold and tasted amazing. After our beer at the bar, it was back to bed. We were up a bit early in the morning to shower and pack for the final time. Our prearranged taxi showed up right on time at 8:30 a.m. to take us to the airport. We decided to get to the airport a few hours early to get our bags checked, which took all of 3 minutes, and get through customs and security, which took a bit longer. Once through, we had our final European breakfast, and before long, our flight to Frankfurt was ready to board, only 20 minutes late. Once in Frankfurt, we didn't have long to wait to get on our final journey back home to Halifax. The flight was uneventful, the food was decent, and best of all, we arrived back home 20 minutes early. Win! I finally made it back to downtown by 7:30 p.m., dropped my bags, put a few things away, and collapsed. Back to work in the morning. Wrapping up. Despite all the insanity with the trains, it was an amazing trip, a real adventure. In all, I walked over 156,000 steps and stopped in over 130 train stations, some more than once. I ate amazing food, drank amazing beer and wine, saw incredible architecture, stayed in funky local accommodation, and took a whole lot of photos, some of which aren't bad. Would I do it again? Definitely, but maybe not with all the trains.